A service for the 13th Sunday after Pentecost, August the 23rd, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Almighty God, whom to know is everlasting life, grant us to know your Son, Jesus, to be the way, the truth, and the life, that we may boldly confess him to be the Christ, and steadfastly walk in the way that leads to life eternal. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Romans chapter 11 and 12. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And now a sermon entitled The Wisdom and Knowledge of God, based upon the verses from Romans 11. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are living in an age of information. Thanks to computer-based technology and the internet, we are in an era where vast amounts of information can be accessed fast. Putting it all together, and with the assistance of artificial intelligence, humans think that they can figure everything out. And the truth be told, we can understand a lot of things. Sharing information means that one doesn't have to start his research from scratch, but can build on the findings of others. This allows him to go deeper and higher than those who came before. Sometimes it seems that our knowledge knows no bounds. Should this be the way you feel, like you know a lot, you may be falling into the temptation that grabbed Adam and Eve in the garden. That was when the crafty serpent said to Eve, "Did God really say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?" She answered, "God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And then Satan lied, telling her, "You shall not surely die." He claimed the opposite to be true, that if they ate of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. It was a temptation for information that would allow them to displace God and be gods themselves that led them both to take and eat that which was forbidden. This holds true to this day, that mankind seeks information not just in service to God and man, but in order to displace God and to consider himself to be godlike. For example, Charles Darwin's Origin of the Species attempted to explain natural selection apart from God. Darwin observed microevolution and evolution within species, specifically the finches of the Galapagos Islands, and concluded macroevolution, that life came to be through interspecies evolution. Schools now attempt to teach evolution to its students as a fact. However, it's only a theory. Actually, it's a theory that leaves much to be desired. There's a lot it can't explain. For example, why is there no evidence of the changes between species in the fossil records? Any supposed missing link or transitional fossil has been exposed to be a mistake or a fraud or dubious. Humans don't have all the information to answer the existential questions like, why and how am I even here? However, I can tell you why I'm here right now at this place. I'm here and called and sent by the Lord to affirm what you already know from the Word of God. We exist, according to the psalmist, because we are fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, wonderful are all God's works. Our souls know it very well. Humans did not emerge from a primordial soup, energized from a blue lightning strike. Instead, were created by the Lord God Himself. And though this means that there is one who is higher than us, it still elevates us from where evolution places us. It explains why we have morality programmed into our consciences and so care for the weak and vulnerable. It explains why we have a sense of eternity written on our hearts and why we hunger and thirst for a relationship with the Almighty. There are other things we would like to know. For example, how can we, who clearly are sinners, be in a right relationship with the Lord, who clearly is holy? We think that the answer should involve indebting God to us by our offerings to Him. Generally, if we live in the right way, offering various sacrifices to Him as we go, then He will reward us with blessings now and eternal life in the hereafter. This makes good sense, and so human beings seek to be right with the Creator through good works. But just like we did not come to be by evolution, neither are we saved by human works. If you want basic information on how to be saved, one must go to the Scriptures. This is God's recorded revelation concerning how one is saved. It's not by works, but through faith in His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. According to the Scriptures, Jesus is true God, the second person of the Trinity. 2,000 years ago, He became incarnate, that is, a human being. As one of us, Jesus kept the entire law of God, unlike Adam and Eve, and unlike every other human. And then Jesus offered up His divine life on Calvary's cross to shed redeeming blood. Yes, there Jesus died as He exchanged His life for our own to reverse the curse. Then, on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead. The Scriptures now teach in Romans 10 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Faith in Christ places us on a new path with a new life and upon a trajectory that leads back to paradise. Sadly, many reject this good news of salvation through faith in Christ and His death and resurrection for us because it sounds too hard to believe. If there is God, what does He care about our sin? If He does, why would He punish His Son in our place? If He has, why would it be necessary to believe in Him? All of it seems a bit far-fetched. Certainly, it must be better to rely on our own wisdom and knowledge. We can come up with a better way to be saved. We can inform God how He should operate, counseling Him to change His ways. It makes better sense that He rewards mostly good people and those whom the good people love. This is how the Lord should be. Forget about things like covenants and atonement and justification. Besides, what good is faith to God? If He even exists, He should operate according to how we see best. Well, friends, inasmuch as we might think we know better than God how things should be, as though we have better information, then it's time to repent. It's time to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. It's time to submit our own understanding to what He has revealed in God's holy word. This is the path to true understanding, knowledge, and joy. In our text, St. Paul concludes this, initially sad and troubled at the lack of faith in his fellow Jews, but then he considers God's promises and how he is at work to arouse saving faith in them, while at the same time saving many Gentiles. He lets all his concerns go as he submits his own understanding to the Lord, breaking forth in this doxology, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments! How inscrutable his ways!" Paul then recalls this scripture, "For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor?" Here Paul is admitting that it is no wonder that the ways of God are inscrutable, for no one can look into the heart and mind of God. Just imagine the absurdity of a puny human being able to advise the Lord on how he should act or be. That's just ridiculous. So too is the notion that one could somehow indebt the Lord to him by his good works or sacrifices. Paul next quotes this scripture from Job, "Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid?" In the same verse, God goes on to point out, "Whatever is under the heaven is mine." God needs nothing from us, so it's impossible for us to give something to him, thereby obligating him to help us. No one gives to God, rather God gives to people. God is the one who shows favors, as we are completely at his mercy. And in Jesus, he is merciful. The Lord does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. This realization, information that we do well to let sink in and direct our faith and life, leads you and me at last to respond as Paul does in our text, in a burst of praise. "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." Although you and I are living in the age of information, and although we like to think that we can thereby understand all things, including the reason for our existence and how we think we can save ourselves, we simply cannot know these things on our own. However, God has revealed what we need to know in his word, that he is our creator, and that Christ is our Redeemer, and how we call upon his name in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit at work through word and sacrament. Yes, truly and indeed, to him be glory forever. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.